Hey folks, Heather Cox Richardson and Joanne Freeman here. Thank you for being members of the Cafe Insider community.
This is Backstage, a special segment of the Now and Then podcast exclusively for you. We hope you enjoy it. So Heather, we just had a conversation about an important issue, a kind of dire issue, but an issue, at least in the way we talked about it, that was reflected among certain specific populations at specific moments in time. And the fact of the matter is that this larger idea about a value being placed on you or your labor in some way, about who you are to the state and what kind of value that has, that's bigger than the conversation we had. That's actually all over the place around us in ways that we don't even recognize. And the prime example of this to me, because it was not the first thing that jumped into my mind, but very early on in our conversation, it jumped into yours, Heather. And that was the way in which the old TV series All in the Family had within it, there was an episode that touched on some of the larger themes that we're talking about here. And you talked about how you watched All in the Family. I want you to talk about that because I think we were watching it differently, but also because I think that has something to do with what this particular episode meant.
Well, yeah, the episode you're talking about is the one where Edith wants to buy a color TV for Archie and she needs $500 to do it. And she tries to get a loan from the bank and from the store that will enable her to buy the TV. And they won't give it to her because she's a woman and she only makes, I don't know, some really small amount of minimum wage at her part-time job. And she gets furious and she tries to ask Archie for money and it's a huge sum of money and he won't let her have it and he won't trust her for it. And eventually she recognizes that she has been part of a household or a society for 30 years, and she has worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in that household, and she has had no piece of that. She has not actually been valued, and what they're talking about is money. She hasn't actually made a paycheck, so she can't borrow money. But what I love about that episode, first of all, Jean Stapleton is just so brilliant, and Carol O'Connor, of course, as well, but Jean Stapleton is just astonishing in anything she's in. But what fascinates me about that is that you can see the way that episode is written, her recognizing what seems at first like a simple thing. She wants to buy a TV. And it gradually becomes for her a recognition and the acquisition of a language that says, we've got a really big problem here that is not about my TV. It's about how I am valued in this household. And it's just this sort of perfect little 30-minute encapsulation of somebody who has been devalued by society in a really profound way, getting through these little baby steps, the language to say, I quit. We got to figure out a new way to do this. And I just find that moment fascinating.
It's the baby steps, right? And that's the thing about the episode, kind of in the way that we're talking about here more generally. She comes to that realization, you watch her, you're traveling with her, and it's created initially by a need for money. I need $500. And she's trying to figure out ways to do it. And she follows all the normal paths. And then finally, push comes to shove. The last resort that she has is to ask her husband for money without telling him what it's for or that it's for him. And that's when you see her slowly realize that she's been doing all this work and it hasn't been valued in any way. And she's been, you know, she talks about like, I painted the house. And she, as always happened on that show, she backs Archie into a corner.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that the work I do here in the house, the cooking and the washing and the cleaning and the shopping, is worth a dollar a week?
About.
Well, I figured it all out. See, a dollar a week for 52 weeks, because there's 52 weeks in a year, comes to $52 a year.
Well, that's close, yeah.
And we've been married married 30 years, right?
Yeah.
That's 10 threes. And 10 52s is $520. And three 520s comes to $1,560. Which you owe me. Let's make a deal.
And then finagles it down to $500. Like, you can keep the other thousand. I just need the 500. But what you watch her do is reason that out and figure that out. And then once she's in that space, as you said, Heather, once she has that language, boy, she's all over it. And you can see on Archie's face that he follows that logic, and then he doesn't know what to do with it because he's kind of stuck in it, right? He doesn't know how to get out of that and actually starts calling her a communist.
Well, that Edith Baines bunker is communist talk.
I ain't a communist. I voted for Jimmy Carter.
Now it all comes out.
And I suppose you were saying that the work that I've been doing in this house for 30 years ain't worth $500.
Wait a minute, don't put words into my mouth. I never
days
said
a week. Wait.
Right? He's like, you know, I don't know how to get out of this. This actually, it's all about money, and you're a commie.
And there's that moment early on where he says something to the effect of, you know, what are you talking about? I should pay you for this. This is your God-given job to do these things. And all I could think of was sort of the whole, and this is a terrible way to put it, but sort of, but, you know, okay, so bad things happen to you. Well, suck it up, buttercup, you know? And that idea of sort of this entitlement of, so you have a bad lot in life. We all do. It's all right. And it's like, well, no, it's not all right if we're living in a system where we're supposed to be treated equally.
And that may be what Archie says, but when he's exposed to this other logic, his confusion and inability to get out of it shows that he recognizes that this is a better logic than his, you know? I mean, that's the thing. It's her gradual realization and his being backed into a corner and not knowing how to get out of it that is striking, because you see her realize her value, and then she really, I rewatched that scene before we had this conversation, she becomes irate, like jumping up and down angry at all of the ways in which she's done things and she's never been valued for the things that she's done. It's a really clever scene. You and I, Heather, were just talking about this, and I was saying my family watched all of All in the Family all the time. So I'm sure when this first came out, which was what, did we say 78, 1978? I'm sure I watched it. I don't remember watching this particular episode. One of our producers asked us, what did you think if you saw it? What did you think of this? And I said, I don't know if I was thinking about this. And you said, Heather.
And I said, I wasn't born yet, so I don't know.
Oh, her rump. Double her rump.
I had to jump in. I knew you were going that direction.
Yeah. No, I actually was going to stop.
We're the same age. If anybody is listening to this, we are virtually identically the same age.
I know.
And I said, you know, it was funny. You forget a lot about the things that have shaped you. All in the Family, and the not just All in the Family, but the conversations in the early 1970s about women's position in society and how they were discriminated against were a huge deal for my girlfriends and me, a huge deal. As in, I remember multiple sleepovers, and I won't say her house, but if she's listening, she will know exactly who I mean, and the people who were there, where we would stay up all night, not talking about boys, but rather talking about women's roles in society and what our opportunities would be and where the problems were and where we wouldn't be able to overcome things and what opportunities were available to us and how it wasn't fair. And the reason I focus on the language of somebody like Edith is because we were absolutely listening to those discussions, and we were absolutely listening to how unfair that was. And it was absolutely giving us not only an understanding, but also a language to say, hey, no, you can't do that. And that is literally, when I think of sleepovers from those days, and remember, I was in a very small town in Maine, but there was a gang of girls. You know, our graduating class was, I'm going to be embarrassed to say this, I think it was 70 people or so, and half of them were girls. So there was a, you know, there was a significant number of us. And there would be sleepovers of, you know, 12, 15 girls. And this would be the topic of conversation. And so when I think about that, I think about those sleepovers and I think about these arguments. And I remember exactly what is in my mind here. And Elton John, that's where I first really heard and learned about Elton John. So I guess on the whole, it was a good thing all around.
I find this really fascinating because I don't know how many sleepover parties I had. And those that I did, definitely we were not having these conversations. But what I do remember knowing, even at a very early point, I knew that All in the Family was talking about serious things in a funny way. I understood that. And I understood often the serious thing being talked about. But what's fascinating is you were responding to it as a woman, and what it reflected on is you, your rights and your opportunities as a woman. I always responded to All in the Family as a Jew. I always responded to the anti-Semitism that was reflected in it. And it was being shown on TV and people were seeing it. So before I thought of my identity as a woman in watching it, that was first and foremost to me because it was so shocking to me that it was on TV and everybody could see it. It's a different way of thinking about worth and identity and personhood. But again, seeing that in popular culture and seeing it talked about, and even, you know, this is always the Mel Brooks theory of humor is that, you know, what can you do to get back at Hitler? Or you laugh at him. This was sort of, you know, it felt like talking at something, prodding at something, and in a sense, getting revenge at it by mocking it on TV. But it was taken in seriousness on this episode, or generally in this series, to the point that it mattered, right? And this is a popular TV show. And I don't think if you'd asked me at that point that I would have said, oh, yes, All in the Family has an interesting dialogue about anti-Semitism in the United States. But I definitely understood that I was in there and that it mattered, that there were words being given to it and that it was being acknowledged as a thing that existed.
Well, and the studies of All in the Family since then really look at the razor edge of that show, that while it was certainly poking holes at those old arguments across the board, there were an awful lot of people who identified with Archie. That rather than seeing it as I think it was intended by Norman Lear, the idea of saying, well, isn't this ridiculous? Kind of like he's this old throwback, that in fact, there were plenty of people who looked at him and said, yeah, he's saying what I really think.
I dated a guy whose parents did precisely that, who agreed and didn't understand that it was a comedy and weren't really excited that their son was dating someone Jewish. So that was
there you go, right?
Yeah.
I do think that one of the aspects of the concept of reparations keeps me up at night, quite obviously. But I do think it's important for there to be a language of it's not okay in a democracy for the state. And we were very careful about saying we're not going to deal with, you know, individual things and all that. But it's not okay for the state to take away something from human beings at all, but certainly not that it's not replaceable by money. And what we talked about was that sort of worth that Edith recognizes that she has never been given. And I am sort of at a loss as we're doing this because I don't have an answer. I just recognize that it is a really fundamental problem. I don't think we're currently equipped in the way that our state anyway is constructed to deal with that.
And I think it partly, this is going to sound like an obvious thing, but I'm going to say it anyway, it partly relies on it being given form by being talked about. So you just said, you know, that this idea keeps you up at night. What keeps me up at night sometimes is knowing things like this that are inherently unfair and trying to figure out how the heck to talk about it, to show it to people so that they can see it and understand it and then think about how they might want to respond to it, is how to communicate it. And in a sense, that's what we're talking about in one way or another, is how do you communicate that sense of worth or value? How do you communicate the intensity and impact in a negative way of being denied that value? How do you get people to see that? And you have to do that before you can even move towards acting on it.
Well, and maybe that's why we even, at least I signed on to, I won't speak for you, doing this particular episode. I find the stance that people on the right are taking against the Biden administration, and I'm not talking about the policy, but when they talk about the fact that our government took children away from their parents for long stretches of time, at first made no effort to put them back together, and under Biden, they've managed to do it for almost every child, but not all of them. For people to turn that into Biden is throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars at, and I'm going to use their words here, illegal immigrants, as if it's somehow a financial transaction and we should dislike it simply because of, I don't know what, because for politics, the idea that they're taking the fact, I mean, is there anything more fundamental than somebody's, you know, right to their parentage or right to freedom?
That's so politicized. People wouldn't be able to get beyond the partisan part of that to the part that has to do with morality and value and the bond between a child and a parent. This was one of the first times I had a pile-on on me on Twitter, was saying something, objecting to the fact that kids were being taken away from their parents. I didn't say anything negative. I tend not to be nasty on Twitter. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But I was just saying, basically, ouch, like this, how can this be happening? And so many people jumped on my face on Twitter, objecting to the fact that I had said that and denying the importance of what was happening. I went to bed severely depressed that night, not because of what anyone had said to me, but because of what they were doing in saying it and what that said about where we were today and what that said about what we have to do to get to where we should be as a nation that values its citizens and those who are within its boundaries and is ready to act on their behalf when wrongs have been done. Thank you for joining us backstage.
Be sure to write to us with your thoughts and questions at letters@cafe.com. See you next time.